Hello and welcome to Beyond the Filter, a podcast about censorship. My name's Jeremy.
And I'm Brandy. And today we're talking to an artist originally from Hong Kong and now living in mainland China, who goes by the online handle of F15 or Fish. They're active in fandom spaces in both Chinese and Western circles, and they create traditional, digital, and soft sculpture art, including sometimes hentai. Together we'll be discussing a series of arrests in mainland China that they've brought to our attention, targeting content creators on a Chinese creative writing and fandom platform. Welcome to the podcast, Fish.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm actually really happy and surprised when Brandy reached out to me, since usually we just talk about Transformers.
Yeah, well, it was really interesting to me when you brought up those arrests, because so far on the podcast, you've mainly been talking about censorship in like Western spaces, but we want to have a global focus because we don't want to act like censorship only matters when it happens in like Western or English speaking areas.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy about talking about this, since I feel like it's a topic should be shining more light on, since outside the simplified Chinese sphere, I didn't see anyone really talk about this. And I think it's something to think about, especially nowadays, the world seems to just go into a puritanical mess.
Yeah, definitely. That seems to be a worldwide phenomenon. So can I start by asking you, what actually are the laws around erotic content in China?
In the most basic term, I would say just illegal, because the law about it is actually just a slightly modernized version of the old Liu Mangzui, which means indecency act, which was implemented during the 60s back in the day, but it got a modern revision during the 90s when the internet come around, which would including distribution of erotic content and, well, I would say just call sexually gratification nudity. And it's also very sexist in a way, because it does disproportionately target more female aimed at content, especially when it comes to like feminine nudity. For example, when you buy stuff from many of the Chinese e-commerce sites, if you try to buy a bra and lingerie, you'll see like they really show models on there is because of the they don't want to get flagged as erotic content. It's kind of hilarious in a way.
So the lingerie websites, they just like show the lingerie with no one wearing it.
Pretty much. Oh, it's heavily censored it by using bars or different random items or just random words.
That's really interesting. I had no idea about that. Is it like the same across all of China? Is there like differ from province to province?
I live in Guangdong province, which we including Shenzhen, Dongguan, Guangzhou. That's the three major economic body or cities here. Dongguan is the big industrial town in Guangzhou, which also known as the world's factory. Majority of manufacturing, especially when it comes to electronic and toys and plastic manufacturing, come out of Dongguan. And it's also known as the horny town of China.
Because the horny town?
For a while, I think the last mayor of Dongguan, he's really, because Dongguan, they don't really have any native economy other than a factory which is mostly of companies from different provinces or different city, or sometimes different country, which is more common. The last mayor, he turned a blind eye on all the sex work going underground in Dongguan because he wants to boost the economy of the town during the early 2000s to the 2010s during those time, Dongguan is kind of known for the softcore sex work industrial complex going on. And even there's a term for it nowadays when people mention the word Guangshi 管事服务, it means you called in a hooker that come into your house, pretty much.
Wow. I didn't know any of this. This is really, really interesting. So, like, did that soft attitude also extend to pornographic content?
Yeah, pretty much. For a little bit, yes. For a bit, they kind of just turn a blind eye when it comes to that, the more pornographic content in literature, especially in online literature, since back in the days, there's not even much censorship online back in the days. I would say, like, prior to 2008, pretty much the Beijing Olympics, after that, the internet censorship got a little bit more intense. That's around the time Google retreated from the Chinese market too.
Like, what is the general attitudes of Chinese content creators, especially content creators who create erotic content? What are their attitudes towards their restrictions, and what sort of do they take to
Oh man, this is a long story, because it's also different between men's and women's too. Usually for women's, like, the more women-aimed content, such as yaoi or occasional yuri, people would use more, like, feminines for sex, because the Chinese language, I was in a certain extent, any of the Eastern Asian languages, a lot of syllables, they sound the same. So they kind of use like word, just kind of like when you mention something like sex, they would use, instead of like S-E-X, they were like S-3-X, something like this. Oh,
yeah. We do that kind of like, in the Western sphere as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like when TikTokers and YouTubers says on the live, they would do something like that. We've been doing this since, like, I don't know, early 2010s, when people were kind of, when they kind of starting to be a little bit more strict online.
You're the pioneers of TikTok speak.
Pretty much.
I'm just going to quickly assume a lot of our listeners will probably know what yaoi and yuri is, but just in case, I'll just let them know that yaoi is like guy on guy and yuri is girl on girl. I assume that's what it means in China as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of scary, though, to think that the same sort of like the same attitudes that, or the same kind of methods you were using in China to get around censorship are now spreading to other parts of the internet. It kind of implies that the same degree of censorship is spreading across the internet.
Yeah, it is really concerning. In a way, this environment, in a way, it's like what the big tech really wants. Because for the viewer that's not really familiar with the Chinese social media sphere, because China doesn't have that much laws when it comes to social media, unlike the EU or America in certain extent. I'm not really sure about Australia, but I assume it's a little bit closer to the EU than the US.
I think we're getting a bunch of new laws at the moment.
Okay. So when social media website, when they were developing in China, a lot of them, especially with the ones that got really big, they also go hand in hand with the government. So they kind of does help with the governmental censorship.
Well, tell us about the recent arrests that have happened of the Chinese fanfic authors.
So the recent arrest started at May the 31st, which is quite ironic because this is just right after the biggest Comic Con of China. That would be the CP, we call them CT031, I think that's the full name, which the arrest started in Lanzhou, and the Lanzhou PD, they issue out arrests on over 500 authors that use the website My HT or Haitang Wenxue. It was the second biggest wave of arrests since the one last year when Haitang Wenxue, or I will refer it as HD Books for now, since HD Books started to monetizing their content. And the arrest is actually quite interesting too, because the majority user on that website was college students and mostly women too. And they don't really have much experiences or resources when it comes to legal power. A lot of the arrests is also technically kidnapping instead of actual arrests, since there is a law in China when it comes to arresting people or issuing arrests across provinces.
So what do you mean kidnapping?
Pretty much. So basically, the Lanzhou PD, they text us that they will issue out a text and to call them into Lanzhou to go to the police station. Pretty much. What's the word for immediate guilty? Like, what's it called? Surrender themselves to the police?
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. And since most of them they are like college students or like people doesn't have that much legal power or that much knowledge in the legal system, they just go there and they just get arrested over there. A lot of people refer to that this is technically a type of kidnapping because the Lanzhou PD doesn't have that much power actually, but because a city police cannot issue a statewide warrant usually unless it's like murder cases or serial killers or treason.
So what are the charges that these authors are facing?
Indecency, public indecency, and the distribution of indecent material, which erotic material. The most severe part of this arrest is most author that got called it in was they are not monetized. They're all they all posting there just for free, and a lot of them are they didn't even write erotic content on that website. My HT books is pretty much like DeviantArt for fanfic authors in China.
And so what are the penalties that these people could face for their arrest?
Why? 10 years even.
Wow. And so are they targeting any particular creators? Does it seem that it's straight fiction versus queer fiction, or is it the creators who are especially popular, or is it pretty much at random?
I would say mostly women aimed at queer fiction.
Does that represent the site My HT Books users profile? Is it mainly women who are on that site, or is it more balanced?
It's mainly women. My HT, that website, it's pretty much like the user base is pretty much 80% women. So it's mostly just for yaoi.
Yeah. And so how long has this site been around?
I would say around like 10 years-ish. I know this site since I was like in middle school, but I didn't check it all that much since it's mostly for original content and some of the more anime fan fiction, which it wasn't like my fandom.
Yeah. So if it's been around for that long, what is it that has triggered the arrests just recently?
Monetization.
Yeah. Can you explain more about how that made a difference?
So my HD's that website, its server wasn't based in mainland China, like no shit. It was based in Taiwan. Even the server owners are mainland Chinese. When they would decide to implement the monetization function on the website, it was, and when you go to monetization, it will be like including with taxes. So originally my HD website got suspected for tax invasion because when they started monetization, it was just on a really teeny scale. But you know, in the past few years, the economy wasn't that great. The central government was like we're keeping an eye on like taxes, even on smaller website. And in the same time, they also launched some of the more official media decided to launch a smear campaign because its server is Taiwan based, and the Taiwan Chinese relationship was a really sensitive topic. So they can also launch a smear campaign at the same time to smear the site owner being not loyal to China. In the same time.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just for taxes reason originally. But a lot of people were suspecting, since it never really have like a clear report about why it got it got targeted. So a lot of people were also suspecting it's not just because of money, also it's a part of the Qinglang Xingdong, which is called the Clear Movement. It's a movement to clean up online indecencies, such as AI scam, fabricated content, and also erotic content, or softcore porn.
So this isn't the only time that tax issues have been used to target someone for something completely different. It's very well known that Al Capone, the gangster in the 1930s, was arrested for tax evasion rather than for his actual bank robbery crimes, because that's what they could get him on. So it sounds like the same thing here. They really want to target the erotic content, but the way that they're doing it is through tax law. So that's really interesting.
I think the reason why they started this campaign against my HD book again this year was because Lanzhou PD doesn't have enough money. They doesn't have enough funding. Since Chinese police stations, especially city to city places, they kind of function by commission. And since there's not much like big scale organized crime going on, they doesn't have that much funding. Another part I would say is that the reason they target the user of that website is that predominantly the user are 80% female. Most of them are college or straight out of high school. And a big chunk of the user that got arrested from their personal story I have read on Weibo, which is kind of the Chinese adjacent of Twitter, by the way. They are predominantly female. They either be in college or they are just straight out of college. And a big bunch of them are not even college educated. A lot of them are from middle to low income families. And they predominantly also live alone or far away from their family. So they kind of know they probably won't ask for help from their family, since in Eastern Asia, this is being arrested is already kind of a shame on your family. The sense of honor is really toxic in our culture, and most of them won't even ask for their help, like especially when they know they were charged for public indecency. Most family they also fear to being disowned by their family too, so it's honestly kind of sad too.
Yeah,
this wasn't the first time too. I'm not sure you guys are familiar with, like, a few years back, a female writer who got arrested for similar crime just because her books have gay sex in there. That was
so that does lead me into a question I wanted to ask. Are there authors being targeted? Do they tend to all create like a certain kind of content?
Yeah, yaoi mostly, and mostly yaoi for women, like fujoshi literature. For people who doesn't know what fujoshi means, it means women who love looking at two guys dating.
I've always wondered how that's actually pronounced. I've only ever seen it written down. So that does make me want to know, how does this compare to how the Chinese government treats sort of pornographic content that's more aimed at men, or like what's like, or caters to more conventional tastes? Well, conventional as in like, you know, what society considers conventional.
Okay, so more heteronormative content.
Yeah.
That's more male glaze heteronormative content. Sorry.
Yeah, you get me.
Yeah. Usually for men's, at least the recent cases I have seen was like they seizing a figurine studio that made a bunch of more erotic anime figurine, and I think they got like a pretty hefty fine and a few months detention, and that's it.
So the
one major male author that got arrested was the one, there was one erotic artist, he got arrested too, and I don't think he got charged that much. I think he got 3 years for distributing erotic content and also minor tax evasion, since he was monetized on Patreon for a little bit. And he didn't report his earning from Patreon.
So the penalties seem to be more severe for the female creators?
Yeah, pretty much. At least from what I've seen, it's definitely more severe on female creators, which I would say also allude to the current gender war that's going on within the Chinese internet sphere right now.
Can you tell us more about that?
So China have like, there's not enough women in China. Like basically the gender ratio right now is like three men towards one woman. So that's like our gender ratio right now. And also, because this is just a after effect of the one child policy, and the majority of Chinese families want sons instead of daughters. And due to that, there's not enough men that's getting married, and there's more women getting educated. And the more educated women, they don't want men to treat them like baby machines. And also, cost of living is rising. It's really hard to get good school, get a seat in a school right now. So there's a lot of newer families that don't want to have kids, even though the governments want more kids because the birth rate is dropping like flies right now. We don't want to be the next South Korea, even though we are on that path.
So do you think that the targeting of female creators is kind of a manifestation of their desire to sort of discourage women for having unconventional, like sort of, well, state-sanctioned sort of sexual desires because they want women to focus on being wives and mothers?
Yeah, I would say for sure, because right now everyone one day 1950 American style chat wife, commercial style chat wife. In the same time, they want to encourage more women into workspaces, just for the sake of the unemployment rate in China. But they also want them to be a 1950 American commercial style trad wife.
When you say like 1950s American style trad wife, are they actually taking notes from American conservatism, or is there more like a Chinese style traditionalism that they're sort of hearkening back to?
I am actually not really sure right now because it's so similar nowadays, I can't tell the difference. Like seriously, the talking points like of some of the American evangelicals, if I change to God into the party of America to China, it's pretty much the same thing, some of the propagandas. So I'll be confused that I grew up in both countries.
That's what I was wondering as well, because this seems to be a global Puritan movement that is emerging in different places at the same time. And of course, there's going to be local characteristics to it. But it seems like what's happening in China is very relevant to what's happening in the US right now, where people are also at risk of being arrested over erotic content. So I'm worried that what we're seeing with the arrests in China is not going to end there, but is going to really set a precedent for arrests around the world.
Actually, worried about this too. But this is not going to end for at least for a bit.
It does,
I already see some of the chatting softwares and social media pages implement way more stricter sensitization AIs now into their system right now. So, and Camille was like, the current problem with the AI race too, I'm just really worried about this shit. Sorry.
No, absolutely. I just wonder to what extent it's different countries like influencing each other, if it's just a matter of fascism just or authoritarianism manifests with the same kind of beats everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing was, this is like, a lot of the people who are using HD books, they are also AO3 user too. And some of the AO3 main fanfic authors got a little bit worried because they want to take record of all of people who write fanfictions, like horny fanfictions.
Sorry, have we explained what AO3 is yet?
So basically, because this time a lot of the non-monetized user got arrested. The first arrest happened when the tax invasion. That was last year, January. It was mostly because of tax evasion. But this time, it was just purely about public indecency, which they also called in a bunch of users who only post free, non-monetized content on my HD books, which they also use AO3 too. So they also took record about their AO3 names. So a lot of the people who just write fan fiction, they never monetize their content on. They got really worried about this too, because they don't want to be in record about this. Since a criminal record in China means you pretty much have no hope for employment over here.
Just so people know, AO3 is a, I think it's American-based fan fiction website where it was actually created in response to censorship on commercial social media. And it's freedom of expression, non-censorship kind of focused archive, which is quite wonderful, actually. And we should probably do an episode dedicated to it at some point. But yeah, just letting people know. Sorry, Fish, you continue.
You should do an episode on that because we love this website here.
Yeah, sure do.
It's actually funny too, because prior to 2020, AO3 is actually not blocked in China for a really long time. I met a lot of my Chinese social media friends through AO3.
I think what's happening in America right now should be giving AO3 fans a bit of worry, because there is the possibility that more content in the US is going to be regarded as obscene and is going to be taken off the internet. So I think it's really important what AO3 is doing to stand up for freedom of expression online, but it is also really starting to face some risks, and I wouldn't be completely surprised if it was going to be facing censorship locally in the future as well.
Yeah, same. I heard about Project 2025. It's actually funny too. I was actually talking to several different artist friends in San Francisco, since I used to live there. And I was there earlier this year too, and we were talking about how much just the artistic creation space changed it online, because just in 5 years, just talking about really queer or really horny content, back in the day it was okay, and nowadays people will just call you a gooner, especially with younger generations seem to be really puritanical, even the ones who are supposed to be more left-leaning and more progressive, also very puritanical too.
I think what you're mentioning about the puritism of younger people in fandom spaces, or maybe just online in general, is something we should dedicate an episode to, actually.
Yeah, it's actually definitely something to be really wary about. I noticed that in the Chinese social media space pretty early on, with all the shipping wars going before, and I was a little bit worried about how this is going to go for, especially for the next generation of creators. Was people being that bad about more adult centric content? It's just, I don't know, man. Sometimes I really feel social media should be more adult centric social media out there. And a lot of the good arts and classic art, they really come up from horny places too. Sorry for this. Going off topic.
No, I absolutely agree with you 100%. That's probably, we could talk horny art till the cows come home. Maybe in another episode.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was wondering, how do erotic content creators in China get around censorship? What methods do you use?
A lot of time we just go on the international web. For a really long time, we just go straight to archive of our own, or just of Twitter. That's the two big major one. And then for a little bit, for guys, they go to Yihantai. They just post strictly on Yihantai. And post the cropped version, or the non-gooner account on the Chinese social media space. But when it comes to their horny stuff, they kept it off on the international web.
So do you only just need a VPN to get around the Chinese internet censorship?
Yeah, pretty much. I still have to be careful though, since only VPN is technically legal in China.
And so if you're posting illegal content on a Western website, Twitter or archive our own, can you still get in trouble for it?
No, because it's out of their jurisdiction. Well, I would say like 60% you'll be fine, but there is always the few free cases of it get considered as a part of a problem. And usually they come with monetization because they can charge you for tax evasion.
Do people get in trouble for just like having porn on their computers and stuff like that?
It happens before. Yeah, I remember, but I was like, but I was middle school though, because I remember someone who was on the Chinese Hong Kong Shenzhen border got arrested because he have like erotic magazine in their luggage.
So just like regular, just like naked people kind of stuff can get you in trouble?
Not naked people. He got like actual porn magazines, like you know,
just like your regular actual porn.
Yeah.
Have you
and
had
also any... buying porn is technically buying and selling porn is technically illegal here too. Few months ago, there was someone who got charged for importing decent content. I think they got charged because they were buying Dongjinshi's fan books from Japan and bringing back to China for their friends.
Have you had any run-ins with the government censorship yourself?
The more mundane one, for sure.
Do you want to tell it? Got an anecdote?
It's actually kind of funny too.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's really funny. I have dolls. I have a lot of dolls, and I like to post about customizing dolls. And I remember this one time I was posting about how to repair the inner skeleton of a doll, and I forgot to cross off her nipples. And my post got flagged, and I'm kind of got shadow banned for like. For like 14 days. And then you try that shadow ban is actually pretty major because you can't get access to any of the service when you got shadow banned in China.
Shit, yeah, because isn't like your social media account tied to like your money and stuff like that?
But yeah, because I got shadow banned on WeChat.
So you can like not pay for something with a debit card because you posted doll nipples.
I post nipple of a doll, pretty much.
Wow.
It's kind of dumb too because like, at the time, online paying or like contactless payment wasn't that popular in China. So at the time, I just have a hard time getting my red pocket from my aunt and uncle from the different parts of the world because it was during Chinese New Year's.
Wow. Yeah, that is funny in a kind of terrifying way.
So is there any movement against this censorship in China? I know it must be difficult to resist government actions and to push back and to protest. So what scope, if any, is there for resistance or protest against the censorship of sexual content in China?
Yes. And this actually goes with the biggest protests that come up with it, I would say go with the blocking of AO3 in China.
Wow.
Quite a funny story, too. Well, it started kind of funny, but it got really serious and dark later on. It started because a Chinese fanfiction writer posted a slash fanfic on AOS, and the Chinese blogging site, Lawfare, and the Weibo, which is the Chinese Twitter. The character who is the bottom of the character is a character that was played by a popular television actor, and the fanfic got pretty damn popular because it's pretty decent written, and the fans of that particular actor got really pissed off and reported AO3 to the government.
So that's how the Chinese government became aware of AO3?
Yes.
Wow. Like, all the terrible things that happened in our fandom, but, like, in Western fandom, like, taken to... that's awful. That's, like, taken to some other insane level. Let's, like, they... You know how, like, they say they're gonna, like, dub you into the FBI, but, like, if they actually could? Holy shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Another thing is that So when it comes to like Chinese celebrities, a lot of fans are like kind of K-pop fans adjacent. So
yeah, I'm just saying
that was, like, the saying of that particular actor. By the
yeah,
way,
I was just thinking this
figure.
Is giving me sorry.
Yeah, his name is.
Yeah, I was
Xiao
just thinking Zai. This is giving me K-pop vibes.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. We pretty much started because some sting of a television actor got really bothered because the character the guy was playing was the bottom of the fig. So they start to. I'm laughing right now because I'm fully aware how bad this whole situation is, but I'm laughing at it because how stupid this situation actually is.
I think that stupidity is just. Yeah, that stupidity just seems to be a global thing now, so...
Yeah.
We're all getting there. God, all right.
So yeah, that's how stupid this whole entire thing started. And also, so the topic of that fic was that character he was playing. That character was the bottom, and it was about... It's a character... It's about the bottom have gender dysphoria, and there was a prostitute. So it's a femboy prostitute fic.
Okay.
They got rid of the staying of that actor got really buttered, and they reported to the government. That's kind of the TLDR of it. What happened in between is also the staying decided to dox the writer of that fic, and also the people who are the fan of the director too.
So basically, like the stands or fans, for people that don't know the term, they sound a lot like Western antis, which is something we'll definitely do an episode on later. But basically, people who take their fandom way too seriously and use moral kind of take things, well, antis in one case, they're very against certain types of content and use moral justifications that don't really make sense to justify why they're against it. But yeah, in Western fandom, they often say that they'll like dob you in to the government, but it sounds like in China they literally can do that.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think this is actually the single-handed events that got so bad. I would say this is kind of like a flashpoint event for all events in China, I would say.
No.
Yeah, and because of, so basically with the government, they acknowledge that the existence of AO3, they come up with a new censorship law known as the ecological management of network information content. It pretty much prohibits anything that spreads rumors, porn, or insulting and slandering others. And
so they're kind of redefining, sorry.
It basically redefined it. Censorship in fandoms in China.
So are they kind of like redefining slandering as like writing porn about characters played as actors?
Kinda, but it's actually mostly about like people who write fanfic. Because the synthesis of the law was like supposed to be protecting teenagers.
Oh, yeah, so we're back to think of the children then. It's a universal.
Pretty much. Yeah, wow. back to the roots.
It's like things are really the same everywhere in a way, aren't they?
Wow. Yeah. So just about like how like people who are about how Fujoshi protests against it. It's probably the most long-running protest I've seen online in China for a while. Since a lot of Fujoshi, especially who went through this event on the AO3 authors, they won't use anything that got promoted by Xiao Zhan, which is the actor in question. Just they like no matter what they don't want to support anything to do with that certain actor because it was all because the whole AO3 got blocked and also the enforcement of the new censorship law.
So they're protesting by doing a boycott.
Yeah, but yeah, it's in general like people who make erotic content they kind of. Keep an eye on his sting too, especially the stings. Mm-hmm. They are very proud of the fact they are his fans. They will like post stuff about him. Like people will try to interact with them. Since over here, people are way more like parasocial here. I'm not sure if this is like a mostly Southeastern thing because our society's vibe is way more heavily pressured than the Western societies, and so. Parasocial in relationship are way more intense over here.
When I think of like parasocial intensity, like the first thing I do think of is K-pop fans.
Yeah, this is like normal level of intensity over here. I mean, we have like people who are like this towards fictional character too. Fans of fans of Megatron top and Megatron bottom are fighting each other 24/7.
Yeah, the ship wars over there are very much... Sorry, ship wars, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like people, fans fighting over which relationships in media are superior, according to them. But in Chinese fandom, it's much more about like who's the top and who's the bottom in like a sexual relationship, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know we got a bit of that in the West, but I don't think it's anywhere near intense, at least not that I've seen.
Not as intense as over here, I would say.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I think the whole thing ruling of the distribution of pornographic content in China is too overly, it's really disproportionate for me, because like charges such as raping and assaulting a underage victim, they don't charge as high as like distribution of indecency content over here.
So you mean like literally assaulting someone, like not just, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and also human trafficking, and even just scamming, they don't charge as high as just distributing, just like your horny fanfic, all your horny thoughts online. I think it's really stupid, I would say.
Yeah, the stupid is, yeah, one way to put it.
Yeah, because like, just think about it, like some 19-year-old, like, or like 17-year-old got charged it just because they write about how much they want to fuck Naruto and how much they want to see Naruto getting tentacle shoved up their ass, and got charged for 10 years and they couldn't get a job later on. It's
wow.
Pretty sad.
Yeah.
Like, and the fucking guy who raped it, five women, then charged for like 3 years, and he got like clean all that, just back to society again. It's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
like,
there aren't really any words for that.
There was like the one case in China, who is of a woman who's most likely being trafficked and becoming a baby birthing machine, unconsensually. And she got seen as the supposedly her husband got seen as the best husband of the town, and she got counted as the hero mother. It just, I don't know, it just depressed me a lot.
Fiction is being treated as a scapegoat often, and it's on the basis that this will lead to real life crimes, but there's no evidence of that, and we'll be talking about that in future episodes. But rather than,
it's just crazy that things that supposedly will cause real life crimes are being treated worse than the actual crimes they're supposedly going to cause.
We could just focus directly on the real life crimes. How about that as an idea?
Yeah. Christ, sorry. Yeah. This is full on.
Well, it's really great to know that fans and people who have a more progressive attitude to, you know, natural human sexuality have solidarity around the world, that we have fans in China who are suffering the same sort of attacks as in the West. And so thank you so much, Fish, for coming on the podcast and telling us a little bit about what's going on in China, and we really wish all the best to those who are facing arrests and charges over there.
And I'm glad you have to be up here. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, thank you. This has been like fascinating, actually. This has been my favorite episode so far.
Well, thanks once again, Fish, and everyone who's been listening in. We hope you've enjoyed it too, and that you'll tune in again next month for another episode of Beyond the Filter.
Thank you.
Thank you.